Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And while we do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, please be advised as well, if you are not already, that we also do the Hank Unplugged podcast, which is available at equip.org, on iTunes, and everywhere you consume your favorite podcasts. My conversation in a release this week is with Pastor Jack Graham of Prestonwood Baptist Church, and it features a wide-ranging conversation on the important yet often misunderstood topic of angels. The podcasts are available around the world, and just today, my staff received a review sent to CRI from a missionary family in Ecuador who loves the podcast and says, "Good morning, Hank. We're missionaries in Ecuador. We love your podcast. We love it so much that we promote it through our ministry blog." By the way, Jack Graham, in the recent podcast up this week, is among the most influential Christians in America. The podcast with Jack is simply fantastic. There are so many five-star ratings coming in, and I am grateful for every single one of them. Do want to mention, before we go to our callers, that there was an article in The Guardian that once again focuses our attention on the plight of Christians around the world. The article written by Lily Kuo says that in China, they're closing churches, they're jailing pastors, they're even attempting to rewrite the scriptures. So this new wave of Christian persecution in China is quite draconian. It is a reminder of what happened during the Cultural Revolution, where you had a decade of the most grotesque kind of persecution against the Christian church. And now the communists are seeking to do, well, even more in terms of propaganda, a new state translation of the Bible. Probably it will be akin to what Thomas Jefferson did to the Bible in America, where he sought to demythologize the New Testament. What is going on in China is an orchestrated campaign to sinicize Christianity, to reshape Christianity in the image of Chinese cultural norms, to turn Christianity into a fully domesticated religion that would do the bidding of the Communist Party. And to that end, authorities now have done all kinds of things, including removing crosses from buildings and even barring minors from attending church. Police raided recently a children's Sunday school at a church in Guangzhou. Another church is forced to use video surveillance and banned because they didn't. Bible sales no longer available online. Christmas celebrations banned, and the list goes on. And what we see in the midst of this draconian persecution is a continuing growth of the church. Some estimate that the church in China now numbers over 100 million, maybe much, much more. But again, the goal of the government is to promote a Chinese brand of Christianity. And they're now augmenting a plan that will last at least through 2022, which is essentially a plan of thought reform. And it calls for, again, retranslating and annotating the Bible to find commonalities with socialism. I suppose you might call it a communist study Bible. And Xi, in some ways, is returning China to a Mao-era attempt to control the hearts and minds of Christians. But, you know, the church has always prevailed in the midst of persecution, and it will continue to do so. You think of what happened in the early church. The martyrs are myriad. And yet it was the seed of the martyrs, it was their blood that grew the church in the Roman Empire until such time that Christians were no longer burned or beheaded for their faith. But the empire itself became a Christian empire. And the potential for us to change the world in our generation is just as significant, and we must be about that task. I've said it before, and it bears repeating. We cannot do anything about the last generation, but we can do something about this generation. We can affect the culture. We can affect politics. We have the economic power to harness digital media platforms for the gospel. The Roman roads were a way of connecting civilization in the first century. Digital media platforms are a way of doing that in our century. We have the resources to do that. But all too often, we use our resources on things that have no eternal value. I was just talking with a colleague today about how Muslims in Saudi Arabia are using the full force of their pocketbooks to export Wahhabism around the globe. Madrasas and mullahs, mosques, spending hundreds of millions of dollars. They are doing for a lie what oftentimes Christians are not willing to do for the church. And that has to change because we have unprecedented opportunities if we will but be faithful with the opportunities that God has given to us. Unfortunately, the church, instead of being faithful, is being precisely the opposite. It is conforming itself to the culture. In China under duress, in America, you have the Episcopal Church expanding gay marriage to all dioceses. At the General Convention, Bishop Michael Curry passed a resolution that expanded the right for gay couples to marry in all dioceses, even where local bishops theologically object to same-sex marriage. So you have a church that is following popular sentiment. Rather than being a change agent in the culture, the church has become a microcosm of the culture. And this is a sad commentary because a popular sentiment in the Episcopal Church today is that the Bible is increasingly irrelevant in our modern age of scientific enlightenment, and therefore when the scripture's condemnation of homosexuality is referenced, it is not uncommon to see expressions of polite exasperation etched on the faces of the clergy. After all, the Bible not only condemns homosexuality, but also clearly teaches that Sabbath breakers must be put to death. Well, how do you deal with that? You need to know how to deal with that. This is the calling, not only the Christian Research Institute, but the calling of everyone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. Well, we're coming to a station break. When we come back from the break, I will go directly to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And my thanks to all of you who are standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Are you worried about artificial intelligence? You're not alone. Pop culture pummels us with images of intelligent machines overtaking humans. Transhumanists believe that humans are merely machines and that artificial intelligence is the next step in our evolution. In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards dispels these dystopian tales and explains why we should be far more hopeful than fearful about our future on account of what he calls the human advantage. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think." And many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. First caller up, Julian, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Julian.
Hi. Howdy, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, okay. You mentioned all kinds of stuff there beforehand. It's making it with the homosexual stuff. That kind of stuff is just making it easier to tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. You know, that I'm going on understanding that, you know, children of God are not lustful, and we strive to not be lustful, and we can love people and not have to have sex with them. And you talked about China and God comes in power, not word, and children. And again, that boils down to just being a child of God and following the path that Christ set out for us to follow. And, it's just getting easier.
So is there a question here for you, Julian?
But my question here today is about salvation. And I come up against a lot there's a lot of people who think that they cannot lose their salvation and they don't have to repent. I ask them pointedly, do you have to repent? And they say no. And you know, every book in the Bible says to repent. And so I need to, a yes or no answer. Can you lose your salvation if you turn away from God? Can you lose your salvation? It says in John 3:3, if you can be born again. And so, but that doesn't mean that.
Well, I dealt with this question on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I think yesterday or the day before, I can't remember exactly when, but in a past broadcast recently, I dealt with this question. And I think that there are many people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. They are Christians, but they're not true followers of Jesus Christ. They come to the Master's table not because they genuinely love the Master and want to be transformed by the principles of the kingdom, but rather because of what is on the Master's table. And I use Judas as an example of that. Judas, from all outward appearances, was a follower of Jesus Christ, but internally he was not. And Jesus knew that and therefore characterized Judas as a devil. If you are a genuine follower of Christ, if it's not just tasting his goodness, but turning away from his grace, as we see in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, there were those that did that. If you're a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, then God is your father and the church is your mother. You're never born in isolation. You're always born in community. When you are baptized, you are baptized into a community of faith whereby you take up your cross and you daily follow Jesus Christ. And within the context of the Eucharistic assembly, within the context of the spiritual gymnasium, which is the church, you receive graces that transform you from one glory to another. So if you are in the context of the church and you are being transformed by the graces that you receive in that context, then it seems absolutely incredible that you would ever walk away from the Christian faith. But there are those who are there for a very short period of time. The seed falls on thorns, as it were, and as a result of that, it doesn't take root permanently. It's choked out by weeds. And so again, I think that the issue is, are you deeply committed to the Lord? If you are, well then, as I've said many times, Paul gives you the confidence that he who began a good work in you is going to carry that good work on to completion. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Aaron in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. So I was just wondering if you could shed some light on the formation of the New Testament canon. What was the selection process when the different councils got together to actually choose the books that we have today?
Yeah. Well, you know, Athanasius was the first to formally codify what today is universally accepted as the authoritative New Testament canon. And so this was not until the fourth century. So what happened in the early Christian church is you had the passing down of the scriptures from one generation to another. For example, from a biblical standpoint, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul reiterates a Christian creed that can be traced to within 3 to 8 years of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, this is very different with what you find, let's say, in the Gnostic Gospels, including the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Judas. They're dated long after the close of the first century, whereas Luke and Matthew likely used Mark as a source, and Luke composed his gospel prior to the writing of Acts, which was completed prior to Paul's martyrdom in the mid-60s. So Mark may have been composed as early as the 40s, just a few years after the events that were actually recorded. So there's the early composition that plays a big role. The New Testament canon was recorded early and therefore not subject to legendary contamination. Had any part of the canon been composed after AD 70, it would most certainly have mentioned, of course, the destruction of the very temple that had given the Jews their theological and sociological identity. So the early composition, again, is very, very significant. And then, of course, there's the eyewitness testimony. Divine authorship of the Bible is confirmed through the eyewitness credentials of its authors. So John, in a famous passage that most people have in their heads, says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And so you have the early composition of the church, you have the eyewitness credentials, and then you have the apostles, the writing of the apostles, handed down to the apostolic fathers, to the holy fathers, to the point in which the canon is formally codified because it is widely used in the churches and therefore considered authoritative by the whole church. In its entirety. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Charlie in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Hey, Hank, I got a question for you. As a believer, and if you'd hear me out for 1 second, like, does it matter what you believe in with the rapture? And what I mean by that is I might like a pastor that I hear, you know, on the radio or on YouTube or somebody like yourself, and I might agree with everything else that they say, but I might not agree with the rapture. So in that aspect, like, you know, like I listen to Doug Batchelor, Alistair Begg, yourself, and I heard, actually, you know, of course I don't listen to, like, Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and stuff like that, but if you typically agree with everything that they say, is it really going to matter if me as a believer, I'm going to be able to discern the times? I actually heard Jan Markle make a comment about you, how you were against Israel and the rapture, and I know she believes that we're not going to be here and we'll be gone before the Antichrist, but I do kind of agree with a lot of the other stuff that she says. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think the motto that we have embraced as the Christian Research Institute is in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, that's forged on the essentials of the Christian faith, and we cannot compromise on those. So we can never compromise on the deity of Jesus Christ. There are secondary issues that we can debate vigorously, and we don't have to divide over. Now, saying that they're secondary does not mean that they're unimportant. Obviously, if you have the perspective of pre-tribulational rapture and you believe that what's going to happen is that the church is going to get raptured out of the world, and then the Jews that have been herded in the Holy Land are going to face the most severe Holocaust in their history, that has geopolitical significance in our epoch of time. What ought we to do? Ought we to be facilitating this process or standing against it? So there are geopolitical realities that that are very, very significant, and therefore you see over and over again the intensity of learning to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. So it is a significant issue, but yes, I agree that I wouldn't break fellowship with someone that disagreed with me on the particular issue that you raised. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My thanks once again for all of you that stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.